Indonesia, I'd have to get up here, and every time they start the same way. It doesn't matter what kind of a message. You'd always start off with Ibu, Ibu, Bapa, Bapa, dan Saudara yang kukasih. Terima kasih banyak atas kesempatan ini. Basically, it's mothers and mothers, fathers and fathers, and all my siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you. And thank you for this opportunity to share with you. That's pretty much how you'd always start any kind of message. So in our culture, you have to start just right. Your introduction has to be important. You have to get people's attention. Over there, it's easy. You always start the same. So it kind of levels the playing field. This evening, I was thinking about Paul and Barnabas this week, and when they came back to their church after a trip, they always gave a report. And so Dan had asked if I could just share this evening. I thought, you know, I'd like to start off with a report of our last trip. A kind of, you guys, you all have been so patient. As we go, I know we're all over the place. You're never quite sure. I have so many texts. I have no idea where in the world you are right now, but, and there's a question or letting us know you're praying. I'm hoping tonight I can give you a little bit of idea what it looks like when we're gone on these 3 or 4 month trips. Because it's pretty typical this when we take off, it's going to look like what you're going to see. Then after that, I would like to share the Christmas story with you, but I'm not going to share it. I'm going to have a Moy man, one of our believers in the Moy tribe. He's going to share the Easter story with you, and I'm excited about that because it's 4 minutes, but I'll give you a whole different glimpse of how a different culture would share the same story that we're so familiar with. And then after that, we're going to take a little bit of time to just what impact does Easter have on each of us? So we're going to take a little time on that, and we will be done by 7:30. I'll stop halfway if I have to. Okay, so first of all, we're going to start off with the PowerPoint. Yeah, we're going to go through 40 pictures. We're going to do it pretty quick, so just hang on. But I'm going to make sure I talk clear enough that hopefully you can still follow. And I get told too often I'm going too fast. So let's see if this will work, first of all. So first off, yeah, thank you. Am I going to, I guess I don't see it there, right? So going back to October last year, I had a planned trip to Spain, meeting with the European leaders of Ethnos and our international board. And when I got to the Toronto airport, flying from here to Toronto airport, that's when I got word that our daughter was medevaced to Vancouver because of the concern. She was bleeding. She was 5 months pregnant. And what do? Do you just, well, it might be bad. It could be, do you turn around? Do I just fly to Vancouver? I'm already in Toronto. But Kathy and I talked about it, and we prayed and felt the Lord would have me carry on with the trip. So while I was in Spain there in these meetings, that's when our daughter gave birth, and 2 days later, and you guys all prayed. So amazing. I'm going to come back to that. But you guys were such a blessing to them through that time. Anyways, I was in Spain. I was in a remote part of Spain, if you can call any part of Spain. It was hard to get. Ended up, I was there for the whole week of meetings or 5 days of meetings, and then came back here, wrapped things up fast, and then headed off to British Columbia with the family. So you guys, I don't know how many pictures. I'm just going to show 2 pictures. But it was a tough time. But through it, it was amazing to see God just so clearly leading and God walking with them. And you folks sent out a couple packages that were such a blessing to them. They don't know many of you, and yet you showed that kind of love, and that really, really stood out to them. So that was the casket. It's always, I've been in a number of funerals when they're tiny caskets, and they're so heartbreaking. And yet, it's still part of our Lord. In an ugly world full of sin, and yet you can see the flower of God's grace come out of it all. But this way, this is the last picture of that. This was Samuel, our son-in-law, singing at the funeral, and he wanted to get up and sing this song. He said, of all things, I want the world to know that our God is still good, and we're trusting him. And that was an amazing thing for me to witness. So we started off from here. We went to BC. Kathy was there for probably almost 3 weeks. I was there for about 10 days. And then from BC, we headed off to Indonesia, knowing we'd be back in January, and we'd have a full month there, because that we'd planned to be there when the baby was born. So we already had that time set aside. So we left. I was with them for about a week, and then we left for Indonesia. And what I want to do now, this is very typical. What I'm going to show, I'm going to go through it fairly quickly and show you what it looks like when we take off from here and we tell you we're going to Indonesia. Now, bear in mind, this map is the same width as Canada. It's almost. It's goes from Maine to California. If you straighten it out, Indonesia is about as wide as Canada is from coast to coast. So it's pretty big distances. And this is Jakarta. This is where we landed first, and we always landed there. And you're going to see pictures, and I'm going to go back through this and just show you pictures. So we started in Jakarta. We had meetings with their Indonesian leadership. This is where Tyler and Michaela are. So we spent 2 full days there with them. And then we flew over to Seram, and I've often talked about Seram. That's where the island, well, actually, we were landed first in Ambon and then Seram. But Ambon is the capital. Seram is where we have an island of 23 different tribes and languages, and we've been working to get some families established in Seram. And Kathy and I have kind of been given or asked to take on the role of kind of walking these families through, of getting set up and allocated in the team divisions and all that on the island of Seram. So then you'll see some pictures that we got in a ferry. We went over to that island from Ambon, the capital where we usually stay, but we went over to Seram together, and we spent about a week over there with our national missionaries and one Western missionary family. And then from there, we flew over to Moy, and that's where the Bible dedication was, and I'll come back to that, but here's the Moy Bible in case I forget later. Anybody wants to see it, I'm going to have it here. You're very welcome to look at it. So we spent, how long did we spend? 2 weeks or 3 weeks in Moy? 2 weeks in Moy. And then we went out to town in Sentani. We had a week in Sentani to meet with the families that were there. And I'm going to show you a little bit about that. And then Bali, back over to the middle here. Anybody here, Bali? You cannot finish a hard run of missions without a stop in Bali. We had 3 full days there just to kind of rest and unwind and sit by the pool. And we did very, very little. And that was really good. And then we flew back. Well, from there, we went to Korea. I had 3 or 4 days in Korea of meetings with the Korean leadership team. And then from there, we went to British Columbia. And in British Columbia, we spent the month with my daughter. And we'll come back to that because there's a whole bunch of other things that happened in that month. Anyways, so that's kind of a big picture of Indonesia. So what we did, we arrived there. Indonesia, we've been serving in Indonesia, our mission has, since 1970. I was there since 1974. I was 6 years old. My parents first went. And in 1970, to get into Indonesia, still the same law today, you have to have an Indonesian board that sponsors you. We've always had an Indonesian board that loved the Lord, but they're very business-driven, they're politicians, Christians, that have been very supportive, but they've never understood us, and the whole concept of walking by faith has always been a tension, and accountability, and openness, and it's always been a difficult relationship, and yet God's used it and kept us in the country, in the biggest Muslim country in the world, through this board we've had. So we're very thankful for them. But it has been a difficult run. I was the field chairman for a few years over there, and it was always that issue of trying to keep the board happy, keep our families in the country, not compromising, and it's been really, really tough. But they really wanted Kathy and I there for these meetings, because in these meetings, the whole old board have either died off or are so old they can't even walk, hear, listen, they're blind. And so they finally said we can set up a whole new board. So we have a whole new board, and that's why they wanted Kathy and I there. One of the new board members is our old co-worker from the tribe, our Indonesian, Anderson Alika. But this whole board now, they're all people have served with us many years. They get us. They'd be like getting any of us. They're on the same page. And God did an amazing, miraculous thing there. We have a new board now in Indonesia that, hand in glove, we're on the same principles and the same function, and they've all been missionaries with us, and it is incredibly, it's huge. It's quite a miracle. So that was that. These were those meetings. It was interesting. We landed at 2 in the morning, and by 8 in the morning, I was in these meetings right off the bat. And so you're going from English and all that's been going on here into thrown into immediate into full-time Indonesian. And the first few days, I'm sitting thinking, don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to pray. Praying in Indonesian is the most difficult thing for me. Because they switch a whole form of languages, everything reverses, and you've got to say it right. And I've never liked that, but especially coming from Canada. I need some days to get warmed up to pray. So we spent 5 days there maybe. And then we flew up to where Tyler and Michaela are. We only had 2 full days there with them. We stayed, and that was a really good time with them. They're new. They were just starting their language study. This is them learning language, and it's the initial total physical response. It's a form of learning language. But people pick up language way faster using this format. And this fella on the right, you're right, yep, right, That's Ariel. He's a fellow that I had hired from university way back when we were serving there, and I ended up discipling and mentoring him, bringing him, hiring him, working with him, and then he went into our training, and now he's one of our full-time missionaries. So it's kind of fun to have that time with him 2 years later, just to see what God has done in him and his wife. His wife is Santi. So from there, we flew to Ambon, and that's the capital of central Indonesia where we usually spend most of our time. That's the area of Indonesia that we've been asked to kind of oversee. And so we were there for a month. This time it's shorter than normal because everything was, there's a lot going on. This is the team that's in Ambon, both are Indonesian and our Western missionaries. And so Kathy was actually sick that day. She's going to be missing from a lot of these pictures. She had the worst case of a lot of time in the bathroom that she's had for as far as we can remember. She had a rough week. Well, that first week there was a rough time for her. So this was our meetings. Now, this was an apartment they set up for Kathy and I and another couple and actually another single lady to stay in for a while. So for that month, this was our home. There's no furniture, just an empty spot. Worked out really well, though, because it was the biggest room. We could fit everybody in, and we just sat around the floor and had our meetings, and hot. It was incredibly hot. In fact, the cement wall, because the sun would hit, it got so hot by about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you couldn't even touch the wall hardly. I thought it just got so hot. And so it got pretty hot in here. So we had fans running all the time, but it was, in that sense, it was a really good house for the size of the context. From there, we jumped on a ferry, and we had a ferry ride. It's called a fast ferry. It's about 4 hours, if I remember right, 3 or 4 hours, and it's a very, very fast boat. And it zips across the ocean around these islands, and you end up in this town of Masohi, and that's where we landed and spent a week with our missionaries that were there. And this is one of Paul and Janssen, our Indonesian coworker. Janssen's kind of our church planning consultant there, kind of leading from the Indonesian side there. And that was a real good time. We just spent a lot of time talking, encouraging, listening, debriefing. I just threw this in for some color. There's that little market there. And for me, I grew up there. And this, my favorite thing when we had downtime, I would just jump on, borrow one of their motorbikes, and I'd run down to the market, and I always came back with something, a machete and some more fruit or a different kind of, it was just a blast for me. This is my little chances that the boy in me gets to come out and go shopping in Indonesia. Spices, all kinds of spices, the Spice Islands. So this is a different boat, but the same idea. This is the return trip then back, and we came back with this couple. And then when we came back, the first time we were there in Ambon, we had about a week and a half, and we were sitting with the families, and through it all, there were 7 families. We needed to divide them up into 2 teams. And so we'd spent time talking, listening, thinking through their gifts and strengths, and we divided into 2 separate teams. And then the second time we came back, after Sedam, after the ferry rides, now we're sitting with each individual team and going through team formation and team unity and team working questions. There's so much to work through because it's like 3 families becoming a marriage. I mean, you're so connected. You're not literally a marriage, but it's so much like that because everything you do has to be in sync. And tensions come up so quickly. So we spent days and days with each team just preparing them, preparing for what they're going to be facing and moving them forward and giving them the tools to work with. A lot of extra things. One of the things, this family here, their little girls kind of see Kathy and I as their grandparents. And so every time they're there, we're just grandpa and grandma to them. And so it was early, but it would have been early December, so they put on a whole Christmas party so we could have Christmas with them. Where then we'd brought Christmas gifts with us, so we were all ready for that, knowing this would probably happen. So we had a good Christmas party early December. From there, we flew to Moy, and this was when we landed in Moy. Tyler and Michaela, her son and daughter-in-law, they met us in Sentani, and then we flew into Moy together on the mission airplane. And this lady you see with Kathy, she's Wewa. It was Kathy's language helper in the tribe, but she is a godly, knows the word, just the sweetest lady. And Kathy and her just had so much. You'll see her come up quite a few times. It's neat to see what God has done in taking people from darkness to light. And the fact that he is risen, this is Easter, and what we celebrate is he is risen. You can't get here and see this and think, how did this happen, except for there is a God that's working and changing hearts. This lady here, just before she heard the gospel one day, it was a couple times, you hear crying out in the bush, and one day it was her father-in-law telling her, go get that baby. She left a baby to die because she couldn't feed that many babies. And the father-in-law made her go back and get it. And another time we heard, yeah, she just birthed into a hole and that baby's buried and dead. And like, that's darkness. But to see that God has changed her life now. I mean, I could just give you so many stories of just in that one life, a transformed person. This is our old house. That's Tyler, Michaela down there. Just fun to be in our old house again. Now, we had a lot of big rats to clean out and battles during the night, but my sister did most of the cleaning before he got there, which was really awesome. So there's Weiwa again. I'm going to tell you about this lady in the blue hat. Her name is Esetari. We're talking about God who changes lives. And Esetari is a lady who grew up right around our houses. She got saved as a little girl. And then her brother had a sister swap where two brothers would trade sisters. So it's a free wife that way for both the brothers. And she was traded with a man who did not know the Lord way over the mountain range. And she was sent over there. And it was a hard time. And she was probably married back in, typically in the Moy, it would be 12, 8 to 12 years old. They get married off and they're sent far away. In her case, it's 3 days hike away. It's a long ways away. But she was maybe a little older. She might have been 14 when she was sent over as a new bride. And got there, and she said it was a tough marriage. He didn't like her. He didn't like Christ. And she just loved Jesus. And it was not a good. And the Moyest are learning how you put couples together appropriately. This is a whole new thing for church growth. Anyways, one day she said, this is just November last year. So we're talking 5 months ago. She was sitting there at the fire one day, and she said, I looked up, and I could see he planned to kill me. And sure enough, he grabbed his bow, and he shot her. You see that scab on her arm there? Shot her through the arm, shot her through the calf, right through the calf, out the other side, and then took a big rock and smashed this knee, and then smashed her in the back of the head, and the way they would say it, they killed her. All evidence, she was totally killed and dead. And as much as everybody could tell, she was dead. That's not unusual for a husband to kill a wife. This man does not know the Lord. It's part of the tribe. Same tribe, but doesn't have much gospel witness yet. They're just starting to. And so when you kill a wife, when a person dies, there's all kinds of ways of dealing with dead bodies. If it's someone that did sorcery, you put them in their house and you burn the house down. If it's a normal death, you bury them. If it's a wife that's killed, you wrap them up in bark and you tie them to a long pole and you throw them into this mountain river. That's a huge, fast-flowing mountain river you couldn't raft it. It's just a really wild river. And she was tied up in the bark, tied to the pole, and thrown in the river. A healthy person can't survive that river. It is just crazy nuts. So she's tied up, taken for dead in bark. We don't know if she was dead or alive, and we'll find out someday. About 12 hours later, the next morning, she said, all of a sudden she became aware, and she came to, and she goes, wow, this is her first thought. The Creator God, He's made me alive. But she's tied up in bark. And she's still in this river, but it had kind of gotten hit up against a tree and it couldn't go further, and she was held there. She doesn't remember how she got out or untied. She was just coming to, and she somehow got out of the bark. Maybe the Lord got her out of the bark. And she said, somehow I got to the edge of the river. Now she's got a hole through the calf, a smashed other knee, an arrow through here, and a smashed head. That's the healing. It's still healing when we were there in January. And she was able to crawl through the jungle to a house that she knows would be caring to her. That person saw her. There's nothing he could do. He folded her up, and he put her in a little net bag and hung her over like she was just shriveled and small by this time and not, I don't even know how. And he hiked 3 days with her in the bag through the jungle. How do you survive that? Got down to where my sister is, and the clinic is there, and they treated her, and she's doing great today. We don't know, and Moy don't really care whether she was dead or not dead. God did something awesome. They don't put up much emphasis. She come from the dead? I don't know. They say I was dead. But her testimony is now, I just want to give glory to the Creator God. Now, of course, the husband now has heard that she's alive, and he sent word, I want my wife back. And the Christian family, the brother has grown since those early days of trading her off, has said, no, you killed her. Now she belongs to the Creator God alone, and she doesn't have any intention of ever getting married again. Surprising, right? Anyways, Christmas. Christmas Day came. We had this incredible feast of rotten meat, of tree kangaroos. They hunt for 10 days. When all the meat's brought down, it's full of smells and maggots and everything nasty. And that's your Christmas dinner, and they love it. And then they wrap it all up with vegetables with all the fermented intestines flavor. It's really not a real fun meal. But to them, it reminds them of the marriage feast of the Lamb, believe it or not. Not us. Kathy spent a lot of time just interacting with the ladies. I was doing time with the men. I was getting to have time with the men, sorry. And then we would get invited out to homes. when we go to each other's houses here for dinner, it's a very different picture there. This is with Edepia, a boy that grew up with us. We know him well. And so him and his wife, and there's a long story there, but invited us to their house. We had supper with them one day. This was a church service. Church service is so different, but it's just, it's amazing to see people in love with God's word and how they worship together. A lot goes on. I just put some examples in here. Another day we had this little baby that was dying, and they said, she'll be dead by this evening. So I went up there with my brother-in-law, my niece, and she's a nurse, and our aunt Kathy was sick that day. Kathy had quite the schedule. You wonder why she was sick as much as she was, but she had, in the tribe was rough. It was very, very hot, and she was having a hard time with that, and there's no AC or anything. Anyways, went up there, and this little baby, we spent about 3 hours trying to get IV in all the points possible. Couldn't get the IV in. And so I'm holding the, very, very sterile, isn't it? Here I'm holding, and everybody's in there, and they're poking. And this little baby, the baby did live, and we never did get the IV in, but we were able to get it sucking and other different ways of getting fluid in it. And the baby actually survived. We poked all over that baby's body trying to find a vein and just couldn't get one in. It was so small and so dehydrated. Another meal out, that's red sauce there. That's pandanus fruit. It's not very hygienic. It's all cleaned and rubbed with all, everybody's hands get cleaned in it. And it's put all over the food. And it's actually very tasty, but it's just where it comes from. It's harder to be excited about. Another meal out. All these meals out were pretty amazing. These are, this is Awayo. He's the one that the video's online. Got people. Awayo, the man in the gourd there in the middle, loves the Lord. He's the first man with living twins, because they always kill one twin, because that had to be an evil spirit, and then the human's a smaller one. Well, they're the first family to have twins and have chosen to keep their both twins alive, and both, the Lord has been really, really gracious there. Then the Bible dedication, here's the Bible. Love it, if you want to look at it, it's here. They just love God's word. So that's Sapaye, one of the elders there with my brother-in-law. And then from the Moy tribe, we flew back to Sentani and spent some time with the families there. This is with some of our nationals and Indonesians. The nationals only speak Indonesian. The Westerners, they all speak both languages, but usually English with their Westerners and Indonesian with their nationals. And what a really cool time. But our focus is just trying to encourage them, member care, trying to encourage them on and stimulate them to be excited and with the job that God has given them. That's our primary role. I'm going to show you a brief video. Is this going to work from here? Okay. So this is a video of one of our missionaries. This gives you an example. When you sit with a family and they've been working, this fella, he's been in there for 10 years working away, and the language is phenomenally hard. You're going to see him give an example. We've had three families come and try and couldn't get the language and quit. He's gotten it, but he's carrying the whole load, and his coworkers keep leaving because they can't get the language. And yet he was a pastor in California, but the Lord challenged him. He's over there, and he's been pouring his life into these, but it's tough. And so you're sitting with them, and you're hearing their story. You just want to somehow take their eyes off the circumstances and put it on the Lord and God's heart for those people and the role and the privilege they have of bringing them light. And so here's a fella, really like him. His name is Ryan Beck, and he's just going to share a little bit about the challenge in learning their language, why so many families from their own tribe have not made it. Just can't get the language. Yeah, there's no sound.
In the Tudor language, we have six tones, which means you can say one word like be, six different ways. It can mean six different things given the place in the sentence. So this sentence, be, 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 means my mother-in-law threw the long thorns, thago thorns, into the fire.
So, same word.
Doug Robitaille.
Yeah,
right. Ryan Beck.
For posterity's sake.
In the Tudor language, we have six tones.
That's good.
Which means you can...
So, in the Tudor tribe where he is, it's a tough tribe. It's really unbelievably hot, swampy, it's nasty. It's nothing physical desire. The mountains that we were in are right within sight. That's a nice area. He's down here in the bad area. And, but... there's six tones. So one word has six different meanings. So saying the same word, was it bien? I forget now. Bien, but bien, depending on the tone. So bien, 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 whatever. I don't know Tudor. But it means my mother-in-law threw the long sago thorn into the fire. Same word. Totally different meanings depending on the tone you put to that word. And then you add in all the very complicated grammar, and it becomes a very tough challenge to learn those languages, especially because no one ever has. There's no one to explain it to you. You've got to slowly figure it out. When they went into that tribe, they were told it wasn't a tonal language. Turns out it was an extremely tonal language, more so than almost any language we know of in that part of the world, in Papua. Anyways, from there we went to Bali. We had, this is just playing, the really nice looking guy over here is me with a nice face. That's with my nieces and nephews and brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We had a good game of paintball during our 3 days of break. And then we flew to Korea. Time in Korea was a little challenging because their culture is so different than ours. And I'm on the international board, but I'm working with our Korean leaders, and you have to show respect, and there's so much culture going on, and it's one of those times you're just desperately for the Lord's help and appreciating prayers because it's way out of my element. And I'm trying to walk them through. They're transitioning from one man who's been their chairman. They're moving to a co-chairmanship or co-director. Both are missionaries, Koreans, that served in Indonesia that we know, and now they're back in Korea. So it's just challenging, and it's a different whole thing. And yeah, I just, every moment of those, and then the Koreans have had a lot of frustration with Westerners. Well, this is their chance to unload, so Kathy has watched. I could sit for hours and hours where they're just sharing their frustrations, and it's kind of, it's not with me, but it's with me representing the white man that's made their life so hard. So you sit and you just ask God for the grace sometimes to somehow not take it personal, but eventually at the end of it all, it's back to the Lord again. And that was one of the more challenging times of our trip. Then we had the month with my daughter and her husband, Samuel. I had two mission conferences at two different Bible colleges to speak at. This was actually a chapel, another thing. But while we were there, the school that Alyssa and Samuel are at, there's three couples that have just applied to the training. And so that was really exciting. And I think there's four singles that are heading that direction as well. We've got a couple pilots out of that school. And then, anybody know this couple? This was Jaden and Bailey. So we had 10 days in Ontario. We do a lot of different things, meetings. But one of the things, we went out for breakfast with them. Our Saturday there, we just said, our whole Saturday is yours. So we just spent Saturday with Jaden and Bailey and had a really nice time. This is Steve with his men's group. I just got this picture a couple days ago. How many can imagine doing your Bible study with this group of men? We'll move on before too long. Okay, this is the last picture. I just want to give you a brief idea of what we have coming. You're always wondering what we're doing. When we got to BC, when I showed Kathy this PowerPoint today, she goes, "No wonder I'm tired." Well, when we got to BC, she was pretty tired. I said, "Honey, okay, we're going to change it up. I'm canceling everything after June. So our trip to Africa, Colombia, and Mexico, we've canceled those. Do have to make one trip to Arctic. It's our grandkids. That's not a hard one. And I'll probably one trip to see my parents. But everything after June, we've just canceled. We want to stay local. And probably won't go back to Indonesia till January. But just so you know, April 3rd to the 13th, we're both going. We have our aviation board meetings in Arizona, ethnos board meetings in Ontario, and back here. So that'll be a 10-day trip. And then April 18th, Kathy's not going on the second one here. That's to Thailand, back to Indonesia, to connect with the team there. But Asia is our Asia leadership. It's all our leaders from all over Asia come together once every 3 years, and that's this April. The 2 weeks in Indonesia, I'm taking the U.S. has a new director, so I'm taking him around, kind of showing what life is like in Asia. And then, but also meeting with our team there. In fact, it's the U.S. director's son is one of the families on the team, so they're quite invested. And then lastly, I have a one-week trip where I go to Saskatchewan for a Rikapuna. I spelled Saskatchewan wrong. How nice. I think that's a long word. Doesn't matter. Have a Rikapuna in Saskatchewan over a weekend, then I fly to the States and have meetings with their international board and the U.S. leadership team. And then after that, call up any time, we're home. A couple trips might be, but mostly be around for the rest of the year is our plan. Okay, that went slow. Okay, that's it. We're done there. What I want to do is show you a 4-minute video of a man from Moy sharing the Easter story. So you can see what these folks are like after they get the gospel and they share. And this is, he's heard the story, now he just shares out. I don't know how many of you could give the whole Easter story in 4 minutes, but he does a beautiful job. And you're going to see a lot of culture. We talk about Jesus rose on the third day, right? They don't tell time by days. They tell time by nights. Nights are easier to count. Nights are hard. Nights are scary. So they always count by the nights. And so he'll always say, two nights later, and then they add on because it's in Scripture, on the third day. But that's not Moy culture. But they tell time by nights. You'll notice he doesn't use any names except for Jesus, because the story is about Jesus. In their culture, you don't use names except for the main character. Everybody else is peripheral. No names are. There's a lot of things you're going to see he does it differently. And yet the clarity of the gospel is so there. So if we could just go ahead and share that. Maybe turn these lights off. You'll have to read it because it's in Moy. So keep going and just let me know when you're ready. Are you ready? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to give a bit of introduction more to him while you're working on it. Once you're ready, just give me a shout. But this is Paye's his name. He's one of our believers in the tribe. After he became a believer, he was growing, a teacher in the church. And then one day, he said to Steve, I think I need to go and bring the message to other of my people. Now, if you can imagine the distance of here to Tignish, you have to walk. How many would say, I know they don't have the gospel in Tignish. I'm going to walk up there and share the gospel. That's what he did. He walked the same distance as here to Tignish, PEI. That's not on PEI, but the distance. A very hard, grueling 3 days hike. Got to Tignish equivalent. It's Jayadua. But he's been there for quite a few years now sharing the gospel. He hiked all the way back to be a part of the Moy dedication, the Moy Bible dedication. And then he hiked home, and just a couple weeks ago, he's on the edge of the Moy tribe, and another group of Christians from another church denomination have come in, and they have a little gathering in a church, but they have a lady pastor. He's like a woman pastor, likes women. But there's a problem. In Scripture, it's pretty clear male leadership. And so he took his Bible and he's studying. He said, I just can't see that it's okay to have women pastors. But this group is so confident. So you know what he did? He hiked again from Tignish back to Charlottetown, equivalent in distance. Hiked three hard, grueling 3 days of hike back to where my brother-in-law is and said, Steve, there's this lady pastor, and I don't think that's true to the word, but can you help me? And his passion for the word and to stay true to the word, they studied through, and he goes, yeah, it's not right to have a woman pastor. So he's hiked all the way back to Tignish, and he's able to teach with confidence what the Scripture teaches. But can you imagine having that kind of commitment to the Word of God, that you'll hike from here to Tignish to see Leonard just to confirm what you think is right? Like that's their love for the Word. That's people that have been changed by a risen Savior. Are we ready? Okay, let's go for it. It's Paye.
Want to get us, you want to pass away whom he may know. Mije, ye, ye, dos, ye, abi, viro, au, viro, abi, viro, au, viro, me, je, sus, boya, abi, wa, ko, omo, fa, moni, pehe, moni, pehe, jiro, de, omo, bine, wada, fa, wadi, ma, fa, he, nim, je, sus, omo, fa, da, mi, omo, bine, na, wadi, ma, fi, asi, me, mi, omo, bine, na, wadi, ma, fi, asi, jiro, de, de,
wadi, de,
ta, ye, sus, wa, ha, do, ma, fo, do, ma, fi, si, ma, yes, you want to my voice, my vision. Won't you pass away? I say. See, I say, you remember what I should keep when you see Abbey Road, when you fee. Then, oh, yes, you want to pass away when you pass it. I say, no, say, you remember how I didn't buy. Eh, I say, I'll be what? Well, all of you mean, my boy, the man. Wait in my hemina, say. Say, I say, you run arm when you fee. Money pays, you know, Jesus, you almost have money for money. Money for money, you know, Peter is working away. Peter is working for my day. Oh, my kind, my wife won't watch you. This is all you have, you Jesse. Yes, the man, they are just planning for. They are planning for. We hear that that couple will be better. They felt the way I'm here, Jesus, and together. Eh, who told you that I'm going to borrow down with Paul Vito with me? Kadim dai Jesus singa ni gabas asisi ti asese se rode Jesus ni me ase ni me mona di awa 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 pa
kulo ba da hade
ni fogo ba da jada di da di mo pronu ba di ba da di ase awa awa ti asese se rolo nga ho want to finance bo game se me onu do me o irana kuma me na has can ever do that. If all the prayers are now, if all over a few people be out, Jesus is financeable. Be out, you know, if all the prayers are no. Can Jesus want to finance a room this one? If all the hope is there, it's just a road there. Who has a bar as in every last that way to high, get it over away, you see. Get it over there, because if all that's that you are Jesus, you get who has much, I say. Don't know, you wait.
Family, you
can't even go.
So that's Paye. Won't it be fun we get to heaven and get all these testimonies from all ages and cultures and histories sharing what God has done for us? That's going to be exciting. It's going to be incredible to see that in heaven. Real briefly, let's just open and look at Scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just love what you're doing. We love that you're reaching this world. We love that we get to be a part of it. Lord, the cost is high. Your cost was high, and you paid it. And you've given us a challenge, Father, and I pray that we would also be willing to trust you and pay the cost, whatever it is you call us to. Lord, we thank you for your incredible grace in our lives, Father, the privilege of knowing that you are our risen Savior. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. 12-minute devotional. I know there's some great people in Daily Bread that can do it a lot less than that, so we can do this. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. I want to look at three different impacts Easter will have on us. First of all, Jesus is alive. Matthew 28 is so clear. I was this morning at Bonshaw, Jonathan Simmons was sharing just the clear statement that the angels made. He is alive. Look amongst the dead graves. He is not here. Jesus is alive. And here in Acts, it's talking about Jesus and his agenda and what he did. And he takes Jesus' 33 years in just a few verses, but here's how he sums it up with this statement, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Jesus wants us to know it is by faith, but he also gave us many proofs. I loved on Easter at Emmanuel Friday morning where Sandy had shared that the evidences are there of Christ's resurrection. Yes, we live by faith, but he's also given us a lot of history, a lot of witnesses, visual witnesses. We have the written accounts, people like Peter and John could both say, we have tasted, we've felt, we've seen, we've heard with our own eyes, we know he is alive. That is so important to God that we know he is alive. We serve a risen Savior. That will have a huge impact. Everything you do, realizing, yeah, I don't get away with that. An animistic mind, a tribal person, they're constantly thinking, do the Spirit see this? Can I get away? Can I trick them? You don't trick our God. That's what sets him apart from all the spirits of this world, all the forces of the Satan. They are manipulatable. God is not, because he is alive and active. Every situation you face, like I mentioned, watching our daughter go through this with losing a little baby, you know what? She says, sometimes I'm sitting there, but I know he's there, but he's quiet with me in the room. He is alive and he's real. That has an impact. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, ask God to change your life just based on that one fact alone, that we have a risen Savior. There is nothing you get away with that he does not see. But there's no trouble you face that he's not aware of and walking with you. Whether it is a scary, a stressful, a financial, a painful, whatever the circumstance, you have a God who's there with you. He's alive. And that's so important. He says, with infallible proof, you can know that Jesus Christ is alive. Being seen by them during 40 days, like Paye said, it was not a fake Jesus. After 40 days, after being 3 years with him, they knew the real Jesus. And at the end of that, they knew this was also the real Jesus. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Remember how he had promised the Comforter earlier on? John 14, John 15. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit coming that we have today. We don't wait for him now. At the point of salvation, immediately you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Anything we face, any challenge, any hardship, he is there and he is able. Not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This was what's in their mind. Okay, now Jesus, first he died, they were devastated, he's alive. Well, surely he's going to destroy the Roman Empire. Their minds so quickly, just like you and I, go to their physical conditions. The politics today, the challenges I face, whether it's work, family, whatever, age, pains, aches. Our minds go there, and the disciples were no different. Lord, are you going to now do it? That whole thing of politics in Israel and the Roman Empire, are you going to get rid of the Romans now? You know, the day is coming where Israel will be restored, probably not like they had in mind, but that he doesn't deny it. It's, oh, no, 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 that's not going to happen. He doesn't say that. He goes, no. Here's what he says. It is not for you to know the times or seasons. He doesn't deny that Israel will be restored, but he says, it's not your job to know when. It's not your job to know how God is working, time-wise, which the Father has put in his own authority. That's the Father's job. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is the next impact. We have a risen Savior first. Secondly, we have a risen Savior who is filled us with power. How many of you feel full of God's power? It is there. It is for you. It's been promised. So often we depend on our insurance powers. We depend on our savings powers. We depend on our friend support powers. We depend on, today it's on your BFFs or your social media support. All those things are fine. They have a little tiny place, but there's something far more important, and that is the power of God that we have, the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Anything we face, we have the Holy Spirit and a promise of his support. And he goes on to say, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Reaching this world is challenging. I'm going to say real briefly, as a chapel, we're facing some new challenges. There's three families from this chapel that are saying, hey, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord and maybe more. That's a challenge. I know a church, I know many churches that would long to have one family. They're praying for years for one family. I know a church in Oakville, Ontario, they're between 3,000 and 5,000 people. They're huge. I think they're closer to 5,000, but I know they're over 3,000. Big church. They have called me so many times, they said, Tim, we'd like to support a missionary. One time their missions committee called and they said, we want to support, give us one of your missionaries and we'll support them 100%. And I keep saying, no, they're churches. They have a home church that also wants to be engaged. You can't take them. But why don't you raise up one of your own to go? 8 years ago was the first time they called me. 8 years ago. I just heard a month ago that they still don't have one family that they can send into the world. That's out of thousands of members. We are blessed to have three, and it may be more. In fact, if it's 10, if it's 20, you know what? That's scary. That's a challenge. Don't ever forget the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget if He does that, He can take care of it. He always pays His bills. Always. It's scary. I'm sitting there like, oh my Lord, what are you doing? There's some more churches on the island. How about poking some others too? I know other churches on this island are praying for some to go. Grace Baptist Church, Bailey used to go there and they're like, well, can we count her as one of ours a little bit? I said, yeah, but get another family. You have a lot of people. Pray, pray, pray that the Lord would raise up laborers from all our churches. God is able, but we are challenged and we are blessed. But let's never forget the power of the Holy Spirit who makes it possible. So going on, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, I like the way Paye say it, Galilee Bage, which is people of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This is the third impact. We serve a God who's alive. We serve a God who took the huge brunt of Calvary. But after that, he said, now you go and tell everybody. That's on us. That's our job. But the thing is, this is not a forever job. It's for a little while because he's coming back. He is coming again. And the fact that our Lord is returning to this earth someday soon. The Bible says soon. That could be 2,000 years or 2001. I'm not sure yet. Or longer. He's coming soon. That will have a huge impact in everything you do. Because this time on this earth is short. Eternity is long. Live this life now with eternity in mind. That will change everything you do and why and how you do it. He's alive. He's given us a job, and what a privilege it is to be a part of that job. But thirdly, let the return of Christ have a massive impact on every decision you make. How will this impact eternity? How will buying this? How will getting rid of this? How about digging this? How about planting this? What impact will this have on eternity? My forever time with my Savior. So Jesus, and it's interesting with the break in the bread in Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. He says, whenever you break bread, whenever you drink the cup, he says, remember this, it is until he comes back. Even our gathering Sunday morning are a reminder that he is coming back. He's alive and he's coming back. Let that impact your life. Let that change everything you do. Everything you do. Because it's about eternity. This time is short. Don't make this world your everything. Make what's next your focus and your everything. But we still need to walk well during the short time we have on this earth. And it'll be far better if you're depending on his power, the Holy Spirit, looking forward to his soon return. It is 7:30. Hope I didn't get too many words in there in a short period of time. John, you should give me one more minute. I've got to have time to pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Lord, would you change our lives by Easter? Would you change our lives, Father? Would you challenge? I don't know how, but you. Sanctification is something only you can do. You work in our lives. We want to commit ourselves, Lord. Change how we think. Build in us, Lord, a concept of the future that we've never seen. Teach us, like you said in Corinthians, Lord, to gaze and to stare on that which we cannot see, because that is what lasts. Lord, humanly speaking, that is impossible. But by your grace and by your spirit and by your power, we can learn to think and live differently. Lord, would you impact us with this Easter? And may we come through this season thrilled with the privilege of being your children. Thank you so much, our gracious Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.